Time for another Castle Country Focus interview on KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM. I'm Dave Hokanson. Joining me today in studio, I have got Debbie Pappas with Second Chance Wildlife Rehabilitation. We like to bring Debbie in every now and then and kind of let everybody know what she does and how you can help if that's possible. And then it's baby bird season. We all have them. We all see them. And you know what? If you find them, we're going to let you know what to do with them. And also the avian flu, the bird flu, basically. It's not necessarily the big one, I believe, but it's still here, and we're still going to talk about it with Debbie. So, Debbie, thank you so much for taking out the time to come in today.
Thank you.
So let's dive right in and kind of let people know what you do as far as Second Chance Wildlife and Rehabilitation is.
So wildlife rehabilitators are the agencies across the state that take in injured and orphaned and sick wildlife throughout Utah. And we are not part of the Division of Wildlife. We're not part of U.S. Fish and Wildlife, but we do work with those agencies. But we are working for the animals, so we're not employed by any agency. We are there to help the needs of these animals. And because wildlife doesn't belong to anybody, we're basically working by donations only.
And the other thing we talk about, and we've had this discussion before, and I want to, you know, I don't want to jump right into it, but, you know, a lot of people think if they see a bird or an animal or something like that to call the DWR, and the majority of the time they're going to call you. Is that right?
Not the majority.
Every time.
So the division does not take care of injured, orphaned, or sick wildlife. And for the people that have dropped things off to the division and they think that's what's happening, let me make it perfectly clear. It's not. The division calls us, or they send somebody over to our facility with that animal. They do not have the people, the facilities, the funds, nor the desire to work with injured, orphaned, or sick wildlife. So, therefore, that's why we exist. And basically, there's only three wildlife rehabilitators in the entire state that work with all species. There are a handful of others, and they're spread out, of course, throughout the state of Utah. But they may work with raptors only. One works with bats only. But myself, we kind of have the state covered as far as the areas. We have a gal in northern Utah, myself, and then one in southern Utah that work with all species. So we work hand in hand with each other quite a bit, especially during baby season, because if we have orphans and we only have one, we have to place them with others of their own kind. So we're always looking around who might have what first so we can put babies together.
And that brings us to the next thing we were going to talk about. As I said, it is baby bird season. I've talked to you about it. I have them at my house. I can hear them. And, you know, what should someone do if they see a bird that is on the ground or something like that?
Okay. So, and I'm glad you brought this up, Dave, because I just saw an article in the paper recently, and I'm horrified that the information that they get for these articles are from the very people that don't do the work. Why would they come to us? We're the ones who do it. But we need to know, first of all, how old that baby bird is, because some birds go to the ground when they fledge, and that is perfectly normal. Now, does that put them in jeopardy? Of course it does. But we can't go around, and for millennial, nobody goes around picking up baby birds and puts them out of harm's way. That's just not right. But there are things we can do that won't harm mom and dad from doing what they need to do. But what really helps a wildlife rehabilitator is for you to take a couple of pictures with your cell phone. Everybody has a cell phone, and send it in to us so we can look at that bird. And yes, sometimes when they fledge, they also get hurt. But if they're not injured and they are a fledgling, there's certain things that need to happen. So that picture really helps us determine that. If they're without feathers, and that's why these articles really upset me, there's so many questions that have to be asked to make the right decision. So if the baby is not ready to be out on its own, no, by the way, moms do not fly down with no teeth and pick their babies up by the neck. I get this all the time. Well, when does a mom fly down to pick them up? Excuse me? These aren't cats, but these are true calls where people call and wonder what if this happens. But you can touch the bird if you know where the nest is, and if it's not feathered, it obviously belongs back in the nest. Don't believe the old wives' tale, oh, I've touched it, now mom will reject it. There's absolutely no truth to that at all. So you can touch it. Actually, it's more dangerous for the bird that you're touching it. So please wash your hands before you do and pick up the bird and put it back in the nest. If it's too far up, call us. We will tell you about a re-nesting technique. But again, we need a picture. I can't make these decisions without knowing what it is and how old it is.
And yeah, by that picture, you're just saying that, you know, that bird may be just fine on its own. It just depends on what kind of bird it is.
Absolutely. And so I tell people, hey, if this will make you feel better, pick it up. If it's fully feathered, put it back up in the tree close to where you found it. But if it truly is a fledgling, it's going to come down again. They're kind of like 17-year-old obnoxious kids a week away from high school. They think they know everything from graduating, and they're like, oh, we're ready to be out on our own. No, you're not. And so we just put them back up in the tree. But I guarantee you, when they're on the ground, mom and dad know where they're at. And you're likely to get dive bombed if you're anywhere near that. And that's being a good parent when they do that.
Absolutely. That's exactly what they're doing. They're watching out for that baby.
Yep.
And making sure that everything's okay.
Yep.
All right. So let's jump into the next thing. And, you know, we've talked about this and we've seen reports of it. The avian flu.
Yep. So avian influenza, the worst one, is here. So highly pathogenic avian influenza is here. We need to all be very cautious. Right now, wildlife rehabilitators throughout the state are actually having to turn away certain species simply because some species are more prone to having it. And when you get a call and they're not acting right, we're not bringing them into our facilities simply because if we were foolish enough to do that and then we get it involved in our facility, everything gets shut down and everything becomes, they come and euthanize everything. So we have to make good decisions based on our education, what the wildlife veterinarians for months have been getting to us versus what the public may think they know and whether they understand it or not. Unfortunately, lives, we all know it. This is killing us as rehabilitators because we know lives are going to be lost that we might be able to help, but we can't even allow them on our facility. So please be patient, be kind. Remember that everybody that you're calling for help, we're not getting paid to do this job, so we don't need people screaming at us and yelling at us. We're trying to do everything we can in our power to save these creatures, but we all know what will happen if it comes into our facility.
And that might be another instance where a picture and send it to you guys could really be helpful.
Absolutely. It's something laying on its back and rolling around that isn't supposed to do that. Yeah, we may not want to take that in, especially if it's one of those species that's really, really probable that's going to have that.
All right, so we've got that going on. Let's wrap up really quick about the fact that if anybody wants to help you guys out, as you said, you work totally off of donations. So if anybody wants more information or would like to help you guys out, what do they need to do? What's the best thing?
Just call me, 435-650-3441. And we really need people that have, carpentry skills right now and people that are willing to do landscaping work really, really bad. All of us at the facility, there's only a handful of us, we're getting too old to do any of that. And besides, we're taking care of patients. So we're busy.
So if you're young and able-bodied and you want to give them a hand, give Debbie a call. Once again, that is at 650-3441. And, you know, tell her what you've got and what you're thinking, and she'll be more than happy to let you come out and put you to work. Right, Debbie?
Absolutely. And if you're a dedicated hunter, I can give you hours, too. So if you are thinking, hey, I got to get my hours done, call me. We'll work something out.
We'll get it taken care of. Debbie Pappas with Second Chance Wildlife and Rehabilitation. Thank you so much for taking out the time to come in and talk to us. And I'm going to let you go take care of those animals, okay?
Thanks so much, Dave.
Thank you. Now, for more information on interviews like this one, you can always check out our website, castlecountryradio.com, and listen for Castle Country Focus on KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM.